Hallelujah. Can you Lord us just a little? Praise God. A little bit more. Hallelujah. Yeah. Can everybody hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. Praise God. Everyone say snap. Good. Now I know you can hear me. Glory. Would you grab your swords? Turn to Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. Hallelujah. Let's read this together, please. Jeremiah 30. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah. Can you lower this just a little bit more? Thank you. Hallelujah. And I will bring back my people from captivity, my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Is that happening now? Yes. Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins, like a woman in labor, and all the faces turn pale? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Everybody say Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble is known as Israel's trouble. Jacob, who wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord said, you no longer will be called Jacob, you will be called Israel. So there was Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble has 2 7-year periods. The first 7-year periods of Jacob's trouble was the Holocaust, where millions of Jews were burned and tortured. The second Jacob's trouble has not come yet. The second Jacob's trouble is known as the 70th week of Daniel. It says, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts. Lord of hosts means the Lord of the army, that I will break his yoke from your neck, and I will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Therefore do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest, and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a complete end of you. But I will correct you in justice, and I will not let you go altogether unpunished. He's speaking to Israel now. For thus says the Lord, your affliction is incurable, and your wound is severe. There is no one to plead your cause. In other words, everyone is against you. Is that happening? Yes. That you may be bound up, you have no healing medicines. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you. For I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with chastisement of a cruel one. For the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased. Why do you cry about your affliction? Your sorrow is incurable because of the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased. I have done these things to you. Remember, Israel was a rebellious nation. In fact, the Lord divorced Israel. But he will remarry her. Verse 16. Therefore all those who devour you shall be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall become plunder, and those who prey upon you I will make a prey. For I will restore health to you and heal you of all your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. This city shall be built upon its own mound, and the palace shall remain according to its own plan. Then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who make merry. I will multiply them, and I shall not diminish them. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as before, and their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all who oppress them. Their nobles shall be from among them, and their governors shall come from their midst. Then I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach me, for he is this who pledged his heart to approach me, says the Lord. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goes forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not return until he has done it, and until he has performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you will consider it. In other words, God will even approach and destroy those nations that will try to divide his land. And he talks about a whirlwind. About a year ago, I had a vision of three whirlwinds. In fact, I had the same vision again tonight of the whirlwinds. And I saw they were like tornadoes. They were whirlwinds. And the Lord was expressing about the whirlwinds. And the first whirlwind that was coming was an area of exposure, was moving back darkness and pressing, opening areas where darkness was being exposed. And the second whirlwind that came was coming to bring provision. And the third whirlwind that was coming to bring judgment, wrath. But it wouldn't come to his people because we would be sealed. That's why even in the time of troubles, God still provides plenty. In Jacob's trouble, in the area of Jacob, if you read the story associated with him and his brother Esau, and Jacob and Esau was supposed to be the one that came out first of the womb, but Jacob grabbed his heel. And eventually, Jacob's mother was promoting Jacob. Jacob was different. He was a gentle man. He was a man of the law. He was a spiritual man. Esau was a hunter. He only wanted to feed his flesh. And so one day when Jacob was making some stew, Esau came in and said, man, give me some of that food. And Jacob said, sell me your birthright for food, for the ways of the world, because he had no sense of the things of the spirit. But Jacob did. And so Esau, what do I care about my birthright? He had no idea what he was supposed to inherit. So he sold his birthright to Jacob. And from that point on, Jacob continued and he had sons. And it became the 12 tribes of Israel. Each son with the name of the 12 tribes of Israel. And it goes forward and the enemy was always trying to attack and destroy Israel. Because he knows God's hand is on it. Israel is the size of New York City. And the whole world is trying to attack and destroy Israel right now. All the Arab nations, and this goes back again to the arena of Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was birthed out of the servant. It wasn't the original inherited birth. Isaac was the birth. The one who was going to inherit, he was considered the promised seed. So you've got Ishmael that was the Arab nations, and Isaac that was the true seed of Abraham, of Israel. And so they've been feuding ever since. And that's why even in the end times, you're going to have Israel against Islam and Islam against Israel. Is everybody okay? That's why all the Arab nations are gathering around. They're gathering weapons and so forth. You've got ISIS. You've got terrorist cell groups. You've got all of these religious organizations that are empowered by demonic forces, demons, coming against Israel. And it's going to increase. It's going to increase to that place where Jacob is going to have 7 years of trouble. Is everybody with me? Praise God. And so the Holocaust has already been fulfilled. Israel, the Jews were scattered. But the next 7 years has not been fulfilled, but it's about to begin soon. Would you turn to Matthew 24, please? This is called the 70th week that we're getting ready to enter soon. And it's called the 70th week of Daniel. And there's a real lot to the 70th week, and it's impossible to get it all in tonight. So I'm going to give kind of like a preface of what we're going to get into. In Matthew 24, in verse 1, Jesus is going to begin to explain to them things that are going to happen. And then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up and to show him the buildings of the temple. Verse 2. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things?" In other words, they didn't see spiritually. "Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." What was Jesus explaining? He was talking about the destruction of the temple that would eventually come. And now as he sat on Mount Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age of grace." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear the wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. And these are the beginning of what? Sorrow." So Jesus first explains to them, look at, I know you don't see this, but I want you to look and see this. What you're seeing in front of us is this temple. It's going to be destroyed. He is telling them things to come. And then he brings them to the next part because he's given a whole scenario of things to parallel according to the book of Daniel, also the book of Revelation. So we see that then he begins to talk about the beginning of sorrow, which is actually the first five seals that were broke already. So now we know that they are broke. They're broken. And in verse 9, then he says, "And they will deliver you up to what? Tribulation." So again, we have the beginning of sorrows, and we have tribulation. "They will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." And of course, that's happening right now. It's already begun. Again, I want to reemphasize the arena. When seals are broke, doesn't mean everything is going to be fulfilled that day. It is a process of fulfilling. In fact, a seal is associated with a beginning and an end. Jesus said, "I am the beginning and an end." And each seal that's broken is associated with a trumpet and a bowl. And verse 10, "And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved." Verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." Now he goes back again. And he says, "And therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel," again, he's using this as a parallel to Daniel, "Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him who is on the housetop not go down and take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there'll be what? Great tribulation." So we see we start with beginning of sorrows, we go to tribulation, and then we go to great tribulation. Such has not been since the beginning of the world till this time, nor shall ever be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh should be saved. In other words, first of all, he's talking about all flesh. He's talking about time increasing, moving faster first for the world. Has everybody got it? And then he says, but for the elect's sake. Now, the elect are the chosen. Has everybody got that? Those days will be shortened. In other words, it isn't about time moving faster for us. It's about days being removed for us. In other words, we will be removed from the days that are left. So if the flesh that's left, time will move faster. Does everybody get this? But we who are the elect, we won't even be in those days. We'll be removed before those days because we are not accounted for the wrath of God. Does everybody get this? Then if anyone says to you, look here, or here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive as possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, here he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after tribulation. Now, again, I'm going to step back because we've got the beginning of sorrows, we got tribulation, and we have great tribulation. You've got to understand that when this is being written, he sees it, he writes it, then he recaps. He sees it, he writes it, he recaps. Does everybody get this? Why? Look at verse 29. Immediately after tribulation. Well, he didn't say great tribulation, did he? He didn't say after the beginning of the sorrows, did he? He said after tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now again, this is tribulation. This is the first 3.5 years of tribulation. The second 3.5 years is called great tribulation. The 70th year of Daniel is the 70th week of Daniel is 7 years. And we'll explain a little bit more to this. So he says, listen, then he recaps and he talks about tribulation again. And then he talks about the Son of Man will appear in the sky. The powers of darkness will be shaken. And it says he will send his angels. Now grab hold of this. He's not going to touch the earth. He's going to send his angels. He will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Does everybody get this? And then he talks about, so that means that is called the rapture. That is in mid-tribulation. Now, if it happens before tribulation, praise God. I'll take it anytime. If it happens at the end, hallelujah. But remember, we're not accounted for the wrath. Remember that, Dad. We're not accounted for the wrath. You promise. Okay. And it says he's going to send out his angels to gather us, right? Has everybody got this? So again, he just talked about the beginning of sorrows. He talked about tribulation, which is 3.5 years. He talked about great tribulation, which is another 3.5 years. Then he goes back to recap and he says, let's go back to tribulation. And once tribulation has ended, that's the first 3.5 years, he said he's going to come and show himself. Is everybody with me? And he's going to send his angels because he ain't touching the earth. But you know what? The whole world will see him. Believe me, this is not a silent moment. You know, I see all these movies, all of a sudden people are disappearing and their clothes are left behind. That ain't how it's going to happen. See people's false teeth and all this stuff. You can imagine what else is left behind. Whoa, I ain't even going there. But anyways, that's not what's going to happen. It's going to be a loud event. Does everybody understand it? Why? Because God's desire is that all men be saved. The rapture is a sign to the world. Why? Because right after that, the wrath of God hits. It's a sign to the world. They will all see him. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. And now he gives us the clue. Okay, he says, okay, when this is going to begin, I'm going to give you a time sequence. I'm going to tell you when this is going to be released. Is everybody all right? He says, now learn this parable from the fig tree, which is Israel. When its branches have already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know the summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation, which is 70 years, amen. Now, Israel became a nation again in 1948 plus 70 is what? 2000 what? 2000 what? 18? Okay. Assuredly, I say to this generation, by no means pass away till these things take place. So we've got to understand that the rapture, regardless of what, has got to occur, hopefully, or start the tribulation. Now, the rapture can occur, or tribulation can start. Is everybody with me? By 2018. Is everybody okay? So within the year, but between now and 2018, tribulation has to start. There must be a seven-year treaty, which we'll talk about, which I really believe is, unless it's been signed already, and we're really getting ready to slam out of here. You know, it says heaven and earth will by no means pass away, but my words will by no means. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And of course, then it goes on and so forth and talks about the days of Noah. And I'm going to go somewhere else with that. Is everybody okay? So, 1948 plus 70 is 2018. So we know that these events must begin by 2018. Amen. Go to Luke 17. Actually, you know what? Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Luke 17. Luke 17. Got your finger there? Good. Now, we talked about in Matthew that it'd be a loud trump and so forth, and the Lord would come and show himself, right? And he dispatches angels to come and gather us, right? Cool. So while we're at Luke 17, I'm going to go to Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Keep your finger at Luke 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let your fingers do the walking. Don't let them do the talking. Verse 13. Read it with me. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Those are believers who have died. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Amen? For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a what? With a shout. The Lord's coming with a shout, so this is not going to be a quiet event. And with the voice of an archangel. So there's going to be two of them. Jesus coming with a shout, voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. So we got three loud things happening. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That is called rapture. It is a Latin word, rapture. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So again, this is associated with what we just read, and after tribulation, the Lord will appear. And he will appear in the skies. Believe me, the skies are going to roll back like a scroll. And he's going to come, and the whole world will see him. He'll dispatch his angels, and you and I, the dead will rise first. Actually, he's going to be bringing his children that are home with him first. Why? Because our final redemption is a glorified body. And why do we need a glorified body? So that you and I can go back and forth home, because we have another place called Jerusalem. It is another location. We will go there and on the earth. Why? Because we're just going to cruise back and forth, because we will reign for 1,000 years. We don't need a glorified body to go home and come here to reign. Do you understand that? And you ain't going to get a plane to take you there. Hello. Praise God. Is everybody okay? Okay, now let's go to Luke 17. Hallelujah. And verse 22. Then Jesus said to the disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here, look there, do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of the part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given to marriage, and until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them. Likewise will also in the days of Lot. So we know that there will be meteor showers and asteroids and all kinds of things besides floods. And they drank, they ate, and they bought, and they sold, and they planted, and they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so, it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken and the other will be left. Now, this is not two male men. Do you understand that? He's talking about two humans, two women be grinding. Now, he's got women out there grinding, and one will be taken and the other left. Two men will be in the field. Now, these are two men in the field. Is everybody all right? And one will be taken and the other will be left. And they answered and said, because let me tell you, if there's two men in bed, neither one of them are going to be taken. Hello. Sheesh. They may be out in the field working and one can be left because he ain't right and the other one's not. You know what I'm saying? But if they're in bed together, they ain't neither one going to be taken. I don't want any confusion on that part. Hallelujah. And they answered and said to him, where, Lord? So he said to them, wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. So we see Jesus is revealed in the rapture. Does everybody understand that? Revelation chapter 1. He is not touching down on the earth yet. We're going to meet him in the heavens, right? Remember? And again, as far as we can tell, this is not in the beginning of tribulation. This is at the end of tribulation of the 3.5 years. Then great tribulation starts. Is everybody okay? Cool. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Now, the book of Revelation is revealing Jesus. Everything is about him. It's revealing his plan. It's revealing who he is involved in everything. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he is coming with what? Clouds. And every eye will see him, even they who what? Pierced him. And all the tribes of the what? Earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Listen, they're going to mourn because once they see him, you and I are gone and they're left. Does everybody get that? When they see the one that pierced him, we're gone. Now, this is in mid-tribulation. This is when the Antichrist comes in. Remember, God always leaves us sealed. He always leaves his seal on the earth. Those who are sealed, you and I are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And he'll leave those who are sealed. Now let's go a little further. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah is right. Now, praise God. I'm trying to make this as simple as possible. Let's go to Let's go to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 9. Okay. Is everyone there? Okay, keep your finger there. And go to go to Ezekiel chapter 4. It's only a book back. Ezekiel chapter 4. Now the Lord told Ezekiel to do something. In verse 1 he says, "You also, son of man, take a clay tablet and lay it before you and portray it on a city, Jerusalem. Lay siege against it and build a siege wall against it and heap up a mound against it. Set camps against it also and place battering rams against it all around. Moreover, take for yourself an iron plate and set it as an iron wall between you and the city. Set your face against it, and it shall be besieged, and you shall lay siege against it. This will be a sign to the house of Israel." So he's laying up this thing at the gate where people come by, and everybody, now you got to remember, they all know Ezekiel's a prophet. So when Ezekiel's doing something, he's bringing a message from the Lord to Israel. In verse 4 it says, "Lay also on your left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of the days you will lie on it, and you shall be their iniquity." Now look at this. "For I have laid on you the years of their iniquity according to the number of days." This is prophetic. He's giving us a prophetic understanding right here. Watch, he said, 390 days, so you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when you have completed them, lie again on your right side, then you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days, and I have laid on you a day for each year. So what he's saying, one day, according to this prophetic timeline, is equal to 1 year. Has everybody got this? And he also reaffirms this in Numbers 14, in verses 26 to 35. So 1 year is one day, and one day is 1 year. Does everybody get this? So that way you can go into Daniel. All right, Daniel 9. This is a prophetic scale. One day is equal to 1 year. In Daniel chapter 9, in verse 20. Is everybody okay? I didn't lose anyone yet. "Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, 'Oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to what? Understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision.'" Let me say something with you, vitally important. Israel is the center of everything. Israel is God's time clock. Israel is everything. Does everybody get this? Why? Because in Israel is the city Jerusalem. And what's going to come out of heaven where you and I will be going back and forth is the city of Jerusalem. Is everybody okay? And it's in the book of Revelation. I'm not going to get into all that now. So all eyes are on Israel. Everything that's going on in Israel is the time clock of everything that's going on. Every event. When Israel became a nation, the time clock started again. Why? Because it said that in this generation, the 70th year of Daniel must come to pass, must begin. Okay. All right, now he's coming to bring him the understanding. Why? Because all eyes are on Israel all the time. They are the time clock of God's events and everything. And they are always coordinated and run parallel with the feast of the Lord. It says in verse 24, what does it say? 70 weeks are determined. Okay, if one day is 1 year, then 70 weeks is 490 years. Has everybody got it? 7 times 7, 49, right? Hello. Is everybody all right? It's 400 and what? 90 years. So 490, these are 490 prophetic years that are determined by God Almighty for your people and for your holy city. Why? Because Israel's a time clock of everything. To finish a transgression, to make an end of sins. Well, how do you make an end of sins? Somebody's got to take it for you. Somebody got it. It's got to come to an end. There's got to be a parallel to where sin is finally removed. But before it can be removed, someone has to come. The Lord has to come to take away our sins. Amen. He takes our sins upon himself. And then eventually he removes all sin from the earth when he comes. To make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem. Now, grab hold of this for a second. Because you remember when Jesus was sitting with the disciples and he said, look at this, all these stones will be turned over in Matthew 24. He was talking about the temple, Jerusalem, and everything would be destroyed. And it was actually destroyed about 30-something years after Jesus left. It was 70 A.D. that the Rome destroyed the Jerusalem and the temple. Now, he says, look at, now therefore understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem. So somebody would have to put a command in after 70 A.D. that somebody, they would allow Jerusalem, the street, the wall, to be rebuilt. Has everybody got this? He said, I'm giving you a time sequence. When this command comes out, all right, this is, when this comes out, this is going to start a time clock. Is everybody with me? He said, until Messiah the Prince, there shall be what? 7 weeks. Now, 7 weeks is what? 49. So that he said there will be 49 years. So what's going to happen is there going to be a decree that went out that gave them 49 years to build the streets and the walls. Is everybody with me? For Jerusalem and so forth to begin to be rebuilt. Amen? Okay. And then it says, and there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Right? So we know that there's going to be 62 weeks after everything is rebuilt again. Amen. There'll be 62 weeks that was, it's going to continue on till there's going to be a something, another major event. All right. And look at this. And it says the street shall be built again in the wall, even in what? Troublesome times. And whose time is that? That's Jacob's trouble, isn't it? And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be what? Cut off. So it says that during this period of time, Jesus will be what? He'll be killed. He'll be cut off. But not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come, which is the Antichrist, will come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Again, we're going back again. Does everybody understand that? We're going back in time. You got to remember that many times prophetically, it is spoken, then recapped. Spoken, then recapped. And so many times it brings confusion to individuals because they're thinking, well, man, I thought, how can this be this? I thought he just said this. And no, because it is spoken. There's always a preface and then recapped. Is everybody okay? Why? Because he doesn't want you to miss it. And the word says it's line upon line and precept upon precept. Is everybody all right? So we got 49 years, which is 7 weeks, plus 62 weeks, which is 434 years. Till the Messiah is cut off, to where he has died for me and you. Has that happened? Amen. Is everybody okay? That's happened. It says, now, and then the Antichrist will come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, so we know that there's something going to get ready to happen again. And the end of it shall be with a flood of the enemy, until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. 1 week is how many years? 7 years. This is the final 70th week because we just talked about 69 weeks. There's 1 week left. All 69 weeks have been fulfilled already. Does everybody get this? All 69 weeks have been fulfilled. The next week that must be fulfilled is what we're looking for as a 7-year covenant between Israel in the Arab nations or someone, whatever. They may come out of the European, but it doesn't matter. That person probably still is associated with Islam one way or another. Even if he comes out of the European Union, his heart is still towards Islam. Do you understand that? Because he is anti-Christ. Amen? Now, in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 2, and you can read the first, you don't have to go there, I'm just going to share it with you. The first 10 voices talks about a king, Artachius, who gave the decree to rebuild Jerusalem on March 14th, 1445 B.C. And if you add that up all the way to, 30 or 31 A.D., it comes to 483 years. Well, 483 years means there's what? 7 years left. So do you understand everything has been fulfilled except for the last final 7 years, which you and I are waiting to see. Amen? Now, I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 6. In fact, if you recall, you remember when Jesus was standing in front of the Pharisees and Sadducees, and Jesus says, they said, give us a sign. He said, I'm going to destroy the temple, and in 3 days I'm going to raise it. And they said, wait a minute. It took us 46 years to build it. Well, it did. It took them 46, but it was actually 49 completed because they had to do the walls and the streets. It took 49 total. He said, it took us 46 years to build it. But Jesus was not talking about the building. He was talking about himself, wasn't he? Amen? Okie dokie. So, 445 B.C. to 396 B.C. is 7 weeks or 49 years. I'm giving you the time sequence. And then 395 B.C. to 30 A.D., where the Messiah was cut off, was 62 weeks, which is 434 years, equaling 483 years, leaving 7 years left. Now, in Genesis chapter 6, is everybody there? Is everybody okay? The Lord gives something prophetic here. In verse 3, he says, the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. Now, I want you to grab hold of this. This is another prophetic number that is different. Because what he's talking about, all mankind. Why? In this, he's talking about 120 years or 120 Jubilee years. And I'm going to explain this to you. From the time of Adam to Abraham, remember, a Jubilee year is actually 50 years. Okay? It's 50 years. It's called a Jubilee year. From the time of Adam to Abraham, there is 40 Jubilees. And you're going to find that 120 years divided by 3 is 40, right? Okay, from Adam to Abraham, there's 40 Jubilees, which is 2,000 years. From Abraham to Jesus' first coming is another 40 Jubilees, which is 2,000 years. And from his first coming to the time of his second coming will be another 2,000 years. Which, you know what? We're coming up to it this September. That's pretty wild, isn't it? That's when we're starting the final 40th Jubilee. Is everybody okay? So that will be coming up this September. Does it mean Jesus is going to return that day? I don't know. But it's going to be soon. It's going to be sometime. Is everybody all right? And that is a prophetic time. It's called Jubilee. Now, we also know that there's a lot of things getting ready to happen. We know the Vatican, Pope Francis announces extraordinary Jubilee this year. Yeah, it's going to be extraordinary to him. And he's talking about something, but, you know, all of these things are after a feast. The Jubilees usually come in after the Feast of Atonement, and then Jubilee starts. He doesn't even mention a feast. You know what he's talking about? December 8, 2015. Yeah, it's going to be great. All the way to November 20th, 2016. That's his Jubilee. And it's not even the right thing. But anyway, hallelujah. Now, This September 14th, in 14th and 15th will be known as the Feast of Trumpets. September 23rd will be known as the Day of Atonement. And then right after that, the Jubilee will start. And September 28th and 29th is known as the Feast of Tabernacles, where we will have the final blood moon from the Tetra. It will be the super blood moon. It will be the largest blood moon that we have ever seen. In fact, the first one Israel will actually see. Now, in the book of Daniel, I want to go to chapter 12. Remember, this is the 70th week. I can only get so much in the 70th week because there's so much that goes on. The first 3.5 years of the 70th week, which is 7-year tribulation, the first 3.5 years will be associated with the trumpets. The second 3.5 years will be associated with the bowls. The first 3.5 years will be under the rule of the harlot. The second 3.5 years will be under the rule of the beast. That will be the wrath of God. In the book of Daniel, is everybody there? In Daniel 12. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 1, at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble. What time is that? What's that called? Jacob's trouble. And how long will it be? 7 years. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the what? Book. What book? Book of life. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. As knowledge increased, how about technology? Yeah. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this side of the riverbank and the other on the other riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his hand, right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for what? Time, times, and half a time. That's 3.5 years. So everybody got it. And when the power of the holy people have been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. It's amazing in how much understanding has been released. Only through the hand of God by the Spirit can we get understanding now. But it wasn't before. He said, many shall be purified and made white and refined. But the wicked shall be wicked, do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that that Daniel's sacrifice is taken away, the abomination of desolation is set up. And anybody remember that? It's what? In the middle of tribulation. Why? Because that's what's going to promote great tribulation. He said, there shall be 1,290 days. How many days? 1,000. So the first 3.5 years will be what? 1,290 days. Is everybody all right? Make sure you write that down. Now it says, blessed is he who waits and comes to 1,335 days. That is the second part. So the first part is 1,290, and the second part of tribulation is 1,335 days. But you go your way till the end, for you will rest and arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Now look at, I want to go to Revelation chapter 11. So one is 1,290 days, the other one is 1,335 days, right? Or, yeah. Hallelujah. Revelation 11. In verse 1, then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar and those who worship there, but leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for how many? 22 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses. Now again, I want you to understand that God always leaves a seal. Amen? And I'll give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,200 and what? 60 days. Okay, this is the first part of 3.5 years. So after the treaty is signed, the 7-year treaty is signed, fulfilling the 70th year, 70th week of Daniel, around 30 days later, two prophets are going to show up. Most likely Moses and Elijah. Does everybody get it? They're going to show up. But they will be in Israel. Is everybody okay? Why? Because remember we talked about 290 days will be the first. Well, 260 days, it says they will be here. Now remember, when do we get taken supposedly? In the middle of this, right? So we got to understand that while we're here, those two prophets are going to be here too. God willing. All right, let's go a little further. And I'll give power to my two witnesses, verse 3, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Where will they be? They will be in Israel. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. In other words, what they listen, you're not going to see the fire. Do you understand that? They're not dragons, you know what I'm saying? But fire proceeds out of their mouth. Well, in other words, just like Jesus when he speaks, right? Because they're going to have power. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven. Anyone who knew who shut heaven? Elijah, right? So that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over water to turn them to blood. Who did that? Moses. Amen? And to strike the earth with all plagues. Didn't Moses do that too? As often as they desire. And when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them and overcome them and kill them. Their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified, which is, well, Golgotha. Amen. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies. Well, how are they going to see them globally? Believe me, they're going to put it on everything. It's going to be televised. And how long? And their bodies will be there what? 3.5 days, fulfilling the first 3.5 years. Does everybody get it? And not allow their dead bodies to be put into the grave, so they're going to be laid out there for 3.5 days. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another. Because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now after 3.5 days, the breath of the life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on all those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice, hello, from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemy saw them. You know, I really believe we're going with them. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake. Hello. And a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. Of course, we know that that didn't last long, did it? But many people got saved, didn't they? Amen. Now, go to Revelation 7. So I want you to grab hold that God always leaves a seal of his remnant here. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. The two prophets were sealed. And he seals 144 witnesses. These are 144 witnesses. 12 out of the 12 tribes of Israel, there'll be 12,000 Jewish individuals that are most likely here right now. And they will stay here until they're removed. Has everybody got it? After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who would be sealed. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Now I got to tell you something very strange. The Jehovah Witnesses believe that they're the only 144,000 that are sealed, and they're the only ones going home. Out of all the human race, only the 144 Jehovah Witnesses are going home. I can imagine who they're, what are they, flipping coins or something? How many Jehovah Witnesses are there? There's got to be quite a few of them. I mean, it'd be a bummer if you think you're going to make it. You're not, you know what I'm saying? So that's just plumb dumb. Another one of Satan's tricks. And, of course, there's gonna, here's the tribes. It would be the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Reuben, the tribe of Asher, the tribe of Naphtali, the tribe of Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. These are all be sealed. And after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with the palms, branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and the Lamb. And the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures who fell on their faces before the throne, worshiping God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor, power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes? Where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation. Does everybody get this? Remember, some of them are already there. Now we've got more of them who came out of great tribulation. Amen? And washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor the heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away all their tears. So we understand that this is an area of great tribulation. Does everybody get this? So I truly believe that the two witnesses are associated with around 30 days possibly after the 7-year treaty, that they will begin to minister in Israel. And then once they're removed and we're removed, 144,000 witnesses will step in during great tribulation. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Because, again, this is all the area of things to where they're unfolding. Our main focus right now, the 70th week is 7 years. Our main focus right now is to stay alert and awake about the 7-year treaty. This is, you got to remember something. So many times when we're reading the Word of God, we have a tendency to place it with us here. Do you know? But all of these things are associated with the Middle East. So unless you don't if you don't understand what's going on in the Middle East, you won't understand fully what's here. We constantly are always trying to place it and correlate it with what's going on here. And I'm not saying some of it's not, but we've got to continue to look from the Middle East to understand what's really happening. So in this, we've got to also understand that they are preparing, Israel is preparing right now to build another temple. They already have all the works and everything. But that will probably be in the part of the signing of the agreement. Most likely, Israel will give up land because the UN is getting ready to approve Palestine to become a state. Israel will have to give up land. And in this agreement, they're going to most likely say, okay, well, then we want to build a temple. And when we see that start to get built, why? Because the Antichrist has got to go into the temple and proclaim himself as God. Amen? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll close here. Hallelujah. Verse 1, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one what? Deceive you. You know how many times people, look at, there are people out there believing the tribulation's done. Well, bummer, I don't want to live like this. I want my glorified body, man. I want a full head of hair. Hallelujah. Verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is what? Revealed. Well, who's the man of sin? The Antichrist, right? The son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So we know that the temple of God has got to be built. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time. For this mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains him will do so until he is taken out of the way. Now, I have heard people say he who's restraining him is Archangel Michael. But Archangel Michael would not have a capital He, capital H. Amen. So he who restrains him is the Lord that's restraining him through who? His body. That's me and you. It is the presence of the body of Christ right now that is holding back all hell from breaking out. And when we are removed, you can be sure that the wrath of God will come. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will eventually consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. And the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they may be condemned who do not believe the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Amen. Listen, we're to hold fast. No matter what's going on, we might not understand it all, but we don't have to, do we? Our main thing we got to understand is what the next event is getting ready to happen. Things are going to change from September on. And it doesn't mean everything's going to start right on that day, but it's very possible certain things are going to come. Because we got a 7-year cycle, we got a tetra, a shemit, we got a jubilee. I mean, all of these things, for the first time, are all together on a specific feast. And I truly believe that, because when the Feast of Trumpets comes, things are going to start, there's going to be announcements and so forth. Because I really believe that eventually that the 7-year treaty will start on the Feast of Trumpet and end on the Feast of Atonement. Now, again, it will be 7 years, won't it? So it'll begin on the Feast of Trumpet, and 7 years later it will end on the Feast of Trumpet. I mean, a Feast of Atonement, even though they will still repeat themselves each year. Amen. Everything is associated with the feast, no matter what. So it's the feast days that we always look to see, to pay attention. You know, many people don't even know what the feast days are. Even the Pope doesn't know what the feast days are, apparently. Sheesh. So think about what's happening. What does the Bible say? Stay sober. Amen. Alert. Be consistent and vigilant. Why? Because your adversary is trying to deceive you. He's trying to take you out. He's trying to manipulate you with your emotions and your feelings. We are dictated by truth and nothing else. Amen? Nothing else. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I pray tonight, Lord, that the seed that's been imparted would bear fruit for your glory, and that understanding would continue to unfold in your people as we see your hand move, signs and wonders and fulfillments of things that are going around us, that we may be prepared to be a witness and speak the truth, and also prepared to go home. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. Be blessed.